Tom Saturdays, midnight till 2 a.m. Eastern Time. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Let the magic rise.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows just new.
That is the adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not, your heart beats. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. Your knees are doing.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear exists is in our thoughts of the future. It is a part of our imagination, causing us to feel that it never exists. That is near insanity. Do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is. We are all telling ourselves a story.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener-supported radio. For danger, unafraid, right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. 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 Radio.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and callers or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution and FreedomSlips.com staff or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to host.
Greetings. Welcome to this edition of the Morning Star Report. I'm going to take a second here to mention a very important issue. Revolution works on our contributions. That's the only way that we can function. And I received word from the management that contributions during the last month or two have not been enough to cover our costs. And so that we may have to forego Station B, which is... So I generally don't like to spend a lot of time on, as we would call them, commercial breaks. But this is very important. Every week for the last 7.5 years, I think with one exception when I had technical problems, I've conducted this program keep you apprised of world events, to keep you apprised of national and local events and things that are important to you, to us. I believe that our broadcasts have kept a lot of people safe, healthy, and alive, especially in regard to the COVID pandemic and the mRNA planned genocide. In the aftermath, we have helped take the jab and have suffered consequences by offering you therapies, which means things that you can take while you're feeling good to prevent yourself from feeling bad. Now, these things, including my investigations into criminal activities in the U.S. government, from the JFK assassination, Martin Luther King, Robert F. Kennedy assassinations, the attempted assassination on Ronald Reagan, the UFO cover-up, all of these things I have done as a public service. I have received very little support from the audience. Of course, there are outstanding people who have stood by Morningstar Report, David in San Francisco, MM in New York, a few other people. Rob has sent small contributions. All of them mean something to alleviate the financial burden that I personally have incurred by making this program. But there are two stations A and B, 24 hours a day, bringing you information from a lot of other hosts who have dedicated themselves in the same way. So I'm asking you to go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.org and make a contribution, make a donation. You may think that a small donation like $1 to $5 may not mean anything, but it does in the aggregate. When we sum up the number of people that listen to Revolution Radio, you know, a small donation goes a long way. So basically, what this is to save the station, A and B. Of course, I'll always do my best to keep A going. I'm doing my best to keep going. I've been on B for about almost 5 years, and here for almost 7 years. It means a lot to me to be able to reach out to you, to share with you the knowledge and the insights that I and our guests have into how we are fighting a battle, a global battle against evil that has America in its crosshairs. And when I say America, I mean you. Because without you, there is no America. Like I've said before, without the Constitution, there are no Americans, and without any Americans, there's no America. But right now, we are being invaded from every angle. The border is fully open. Now we know there are 10 million illegal immigrants racing through. They've opened the borders in California, Arizona, the only state that's fighting, you know, tooth and claw is Texas. And the Supreme Court, which seems to have its head up its you-know-what, just ordered Texas to remove the barber blockade they have to stop the flood. Well, now 25 other states have joined with us, invoking the right of self-defense of every state and asserting the fact that every governor is a chief executive and that his first or her first priority is the defense of the state. So it looks to me like the long-planned civil war that Obama and Biden, or let's not leave out the Clintons, you know, another bunch of traitors, globalists. It seems like they're on the high road to forcing that to happen. In the second hour, I'm going to invite my friend John Carman, former Secret Service agent, to join us to discuss this and the prospect that a false flag event, as they euphemistically call it, may be dropped. And one of the things I fear is that the Democrats, when they get desperate, they get homicidal. And people have been talking about the hints in the media regarding an assassination. Alexander Soros, the skirt dressing Soros, put out a tweet earlier this week, which seemed to be an overt threat against the President of the United States, meaning Donald Trump. He put out a tweet with two pictures. One picture was a bullet hole through glass, and the second one was $47 in cash. Now, that seems a little bit mysterious to most people, but when you realize that 47 has come to represent the 47th President of the United States, and everyone implies that that will be Trump, the message is clear. The other problem and possibility is that they could get rid of Biden and try to blame it on a MAGA supporter like they blamed the JFK assassination on Lee Harvey Oswald. So all of these things are percolating, and the only place you're going to hear about it is here on Revolution Radio and in the alternate. I'm very grateful that we have alternate media because we're beating back the Mockingbird media. It turns out that they're all sinking. They're all cutting their staffs. From Time Magazine to Sports Illustrated to ESPN, they've had to cut staffs. That's a good sign, folks. But the battle is not over. CNN, which used to have 3 viewers a night, could hardly muster 335,000 to listen to Kamala Harris. So the information war is being won slowly, steadily, by stations like yours truly, Revolution Radio, Morningstar Report, Rebel News in Canada. We're all beating back the disinformation. But without your help, we can't get anywhere. So please, go to Rebel Radio, freedomslips.org, or go to Patreon and make a Dazzle store and buy a product. Every little bit helps, and that will keep us on the air. Okay. So with that, I am going to begin the official report. As soon as the recording instrument begins. Okay. To Revolution Radio for this very timely report on the eve of the Year of the Dragon. Yep, that's what we are facing. Another Year of the Dragon, which is always tumultuous, roller coaster ride. This one will not be as bad as the that a roller coaster ride has a slow phase as the roller coaster is going up to the top of the hill, and then the speed is with each climb and each descent. So that's where we stand. I had a report yesterday, which I'm trying to track down, that China has invaded Taiwan. Well, if it hasn't done it overtly already, it's preparing to do so, because little Taiwan, standing out there in the Pacific Ocean off the coast of China, has voted for independence. They had a vote for president last week, and the Taiwanese people, who are very much like the American people, love freedom, freedom of expression, and independence. And this has thrown the Chinese Communist Party into frenzy. Maniacs for control. They're out to take the world. It's as simple as that. Excuse me a moment. Hello?
Oh, Robert, this is Brandenburg.
John, I'm on the air right now. If you want to come on.
So anyway, you got my number, right?
Yes, I do. Okay, thank you.
Send me a link. I'm sitting online waiting for
you. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. That was Dr. John Brandenburg. I asked him to be on the show, but he has a little trouble with technical things. So we're going to see if we get him on the show to comment a little bit, because there are parallels at this time in history between Earth and Mars. We are trying to forestall what ended the Martian civilization, which was the Holocaust. This is what Dr. John Brandenburg has discovered. So we may get a chance to speak with him a little bit later in the program. I shot him from north. And by that, our friends up north and sisters in Canada, which has been a very important part of the Morningstar Report, as long as on the air. Canadians, the takeover of their government by a communist puppet, Justin Castro, as you know. It's now established that Justin Trudeau was the illegitimate Fidel Castro, that Justin Trudeau's mother, Margaret, had an affair with them to mean children who were raped in groomed and indoctrinated and infused with a great passion for overwhelming their countries with communism. Marxist, Leninist, intolerant, dictatorial, homicidal communism. And when I say homicidal, you might think that it's an exaggeration, but it's not at all. The Canadian government has 50,000 people in the last election. You're going to hear about it, because 4 years ago on our program, when Andrew Curry, my Canadian co-host, was a regular broadcaster with me, keeping everyone in tune with what was saying, I said to Andrew Curry, Andrew, the day may come when Americans have to invade Canada to free your people from communism. Well, it has started, not armies, but voices like our own. And the voice I'm talking about today is Tucker Carlson has ventured into enemy territory with a tour. He's going across Canada with a tour that's called Stalking the Enemy. And he calls Trudeau and his communist regime the enemy, rightly so, because it turns out Tucker Carlson is half Canadian. His father was born in Nova Scotia. You'll hear him. I'm going to play two interviews that he gave there to bring home to Canadians, but also Americans, the threat we face under Joe Biden and his totally corrupt, queer as a $3 bill administration. They have undermined the military. They have defanged the U.S. The U.S. military. They have to Ukraine in a lost cause that was lost before it even began. Under the ruse of fighting for democracy, a democracy that does not exist in Ukraine at all, they have bamboozled the American people and divided us again by creating another wedge issue with dupes of the left running around for the last half wearing Ukrainian flags, Ukrainian pins, putting Ukrainian bumper stickers on their cars. They have divided the country to Ukraine, anti-Russia versus I don't give a damn. Okay, Ukraine is not my country. Zelensky is a puppet of the oligarchs, again, as queer as a $3 bill. And he has instituted a dictatorship. A couple of months, he said there's going to be no more elections until the war is won. Well, good luck, because that war is lost. It will never be won. On top of that, he had already begun taking Ukrainian journalists. And the thing I hold most against him is the murder of Gonzalo Lira. Yes, Gonzalo Lira, the American journalist whom you heard reporting accurately and honestly from Ukraine during the first year and a half of the war, was arrested, tortured, extorted. They stole $70,000 from his PayPal account. That means the prison wardens. Then they set him up for a trap. They released him on bail. They told him that he was free to go, and if he was smart, he'd leave the country. Well, they were tracking him. They came down on him. They arrested him again. They tortured him again. They denied him proper medical attention. And then they demanded $500,000 from him to transfer him to a regular hospital. When he told his lawyer about this demand, his lawyer raced to the prison. And when he arrived, Gonzalo Lira was dead. They tasered him to death. They imparted a heart attack by using tasers on him. There were burn marks around his chest where they killed him by electrifying his heart. That's democracy in Ukraine. And all you dupes, all you dopes, that were running around wrapping yourselves in the Ukrainian flags, you're responsible. You gave Joe Biden the immorals to keep funneling our treasury and our armaments to the worst dictator that Ukraine has ever seen since Joseph Stalin and the communists. So that's where it stands. That's a reality check. And again, I emphasize, you have to do what needs to be done to keep Revolution Radio. Otherwise, you're just going to be sitting there in the dark, hearing all fake news being pumped up, repeated over and over and over again. So again, please contribute to Revolution Radio so that we can keep Studio A and Studio B on the air. On the air for you. Right? So here, let's give a listen. Okay? Let's get, we're going to hear also from our friend Polly, the amazing Polly, is another patriotic Canadian whom we've had on the program several times, especially during the COVID crisis. Right now, we're going to turn to another one of these wonderful alternate media sites, which I recommend. It's called Town Hall, townhall.com. Before we go into this report, let me just say that we have a lot of good candidates running. DeSantis has dropped out. Nikki Haley is on the ropes, and anybody who would vote for Nikki Haley is out of their minds. Pardon the expression, if you have a mind. She's being funded by the Democratic Party. Come on, folks. You're going to vote for somebody who's the Democratic Party to run against President Trump. So, anyway, Carrie Lake. Everybody says we need to have a woman candidate. We have women would be president. Well, I would never in my life vote anywhere near Nikki Haley. But I would vote for Carrie Lake, standing candidate and a very righteous person. So Carrie Lake was approached by a puppet of who knows what party this guy is in, but his name is Jim DeWitt, and he just had to resign from his position as a high-ranking GOP official in Arizona because he tried to bribe Carrie Lake to drop out of the Senate race in Arizona. And Carrie was recording the entire conversation. So she released the entire conversation. The guy kept saying, you know, how about a million and a half? And then he said, name your price. Give me an amount. She said, so you can buy me? And basically, she has outed him. And she said, listen, why don't you go out and people who put you up to this? Who are the big money bags behind your proposal? And he said, oh, no, no, no. I'd go into my car, turn the key, and boom. Well, that's the kind of gray presence, black presence is behind the scenes, playing both sides of the aisle, trying to rig this next election like they rigged the last election. But right now, we're going to hear from Tucker Carlson via Town Hall and Larry Report. I encourage you to subscribe or at least log in to Town Hall and listen to. We're going to start with a short excerpt, then we're going to play Tucker's entire speech in Edmonton, Alberta. A very cold place to venture to this time of year, but he did so for the Canadian people and for the Americans.
Somebody drove up in a white van to a playground and acted that way in front of children, they would be arrested. Right. But because it's done under the auspices of a story hour, suddenly it needs to be protected. It's unbelievable. Great story, great reporting. Thank you for staying on top of it. And I'll say a prayer in Latin on your behalf there, Mary Margaret. I hope
thank
you're not
you.
On top of it.
Thank you. Appreciate right. it.
Keep going! I'm out of control! Unleashed in Canada.
That's Tucker Carlson.
Tucker Carlson doing what only Tucker Carlson can do. He's playing to a sold-out arena up in Canada. He called Justin Trudeau and left a voicemail to warn him that he was coming to liberate that country. And Tucker was absolutely en fuego. He was fantastic. One part of his speech there, though, really resonated, and we want to share it with you. Check this out.
The last thing I'll say, which also may be controversial because it sounds like a parochial concern or some sort of, you know, weird religious thing or something, and it's not, but take a look at what they're doing to your Christians. And I say this for a couple of reasons. I am a Christian, but that's not why I'm telling you this. I'm telling you this because there's kind of no more inoffensive in the world than a Christian. In fact, there isn't. The religion tells them, commands them, turn the other cheek, and to put the concerns of others above their own concerns. So if you have a problem with those precepts, explain it to me. Speak slowly so I can understand. Everybody in this room, regardless of your faith, can agree, yeah, I'm for that. I wish I was more like that. That's good. We need more of those people in society. Serve others for the sake of service. People who pray for enemies. Who does that? Who would pray for an enemy? No one, except Christians, and they do. They're commanded to. So if you're hassling that group, maybe you've got another agenda that we should be concerned about, even if we're not in that group. If we burn 90 of their churches to the ground, and the prime minister and his little weird buddies are endorsing that, burning churches, if you're on the side of burning churches, let me just say, I don't need any other facts of the case, you're on the wrong side. If you're throwing preachers in prison for preaching the Christian gospel, not for hurting anyone, not for making pipe bombs, not for trying to castrate other people's children, for importing millions of people into your country who are not going to have work, just for the crime of preaching the Christian gospel, you go to jail. At the same time, when they're encouraging your kids to do drugs, and not just fentanyl, but weed, don't raise your hand if you have a 15-year-old son, but come up to me after and tell me what you think of legalized weed. For real. And if you have a 15-year-old son, you know exactly what I'm talking about. They did that to you and to your son on purpose. In a country like that, in a world like that, if you think that preaching the gospel is so dangerous that the people who do it need to be in prison in shackles, you're serving someone other than the people of Canada, if you know what I mean.
There's a little bit more to this. I'll let Tucker have the last word because it's pretty brilliant, as you can see. It's great stuff. But I want to give a little context because a lot of people, especially here in the United States, you might not know what I'm talking about with regard to churches in Canada being burned. And who would be in favor of that? Who would be supporting that? Well, it's true. Since 2021, over 90 churches have burned to the ground. Most of them are under suspicion of arson. And the people who have actually defended this are remarkable. One person's name was Harsha Walia, the executive director of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Union, like their version of the ACLU. She actually tweeted on June 30th about these churches being burned and quote tweeted that story and said, burn it all down. That's what she quoted. This is the person who's in charge of the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association, quoted, burn it all down. Tucker just responded there with regard to Justin Trudeau's administration. The prime minister himself, Justin Trudeau, in reacting to the church burnings in his country, said this, said, the church burnings are fully understandable, and people have gone decades and even generations living with intergenerational trauma, with outcomes and institutional racism, that created extreme across this country that are also the legacy of residential schools. In other words, the Christians probably had it coming because of their missionary work in this country. Now, to be fair to Justin Trudeau, a grace and privilege he would probably never extend to a conservative, he did in that same statement that sounded like he was equivocating, rationalizing, and defending the burning of churches. He also said, and I'm quoting him, it was wrong and unacceptable to burn churches to the ground. So there you go. I mean, in addition to long rationalization of violence against churches in his country, he also said in three words, wrong and unacceptable. So there's that. But how brave and fabulous for Tucker to go into Canada and raise this issue. And of course, by the way, the arrests of ministers and people of clergy for praying and being nonviolent, we've already covered that story quite a bit. It's happened in the UK and in Canada. Absolutely, if you pray in front of an abortion clinic, you'll be arrested for a thought crime. But then I'll let Tucker finish, as I said. This is Tucker at his best. If you haven't seen his speech at the Heritage Foundation, the 30th anniversary, you need to.
I'm told that the Skype sound is deteriorating, so I have to reset it. So bear with me, the voice here. And that is, we have auditors, folks. We have people who volunteer to listen so that if anything goes awry, we can jump on it right away. We ought to write a letter to Skype and tell them to get their audio sharing together. Okay, let's give Tucker Carlson a couple more minutes here. And here come the cops. Those sirens are the sounds of New York City news. It's a sound that is ubiquitous. Anywhere you go, anywhere in the city, you're going to hear the sounds of sirens, fire engines, police, and ambulances, EMS. And I salute all of them. They volunteer. They risk their lives for all of us. So when I hear the sound of siren, I'm not upset by it. I think there's someone who's racing to help someone else, someone they don't even know. Fire, crime, mercy. We should respect our police, our firemen, and our emergency medical services. They are heroes, each and every day. Okay, let's go back to Larry at townhall.com and Tucker for a couple of minutes, the remaining minutes of this excerpt, because there is a lot more
to do it. In fact, it was
Friday, right before he was fired from Fox News the following Monday. A lot of people speculated that part of the reason he may have been fired is because that speech was so passionate about his Christian faith and about how Christians are under fire in this country. Watch that speech if you haven't seen it already. It's out there. But here he is, Tucker at his best, echoing his concerns about the future of Western civilization, specifically Christianity in our country and in our continent.
That's really scary. And I don't care how much they dress it up in the passive-aggressive self-help language of the modern left. Well, it's really about public safety. Every time I turn on your freaking television shows, everything's about public safety, which is a euphemism for hard-edged fascism, actually. And frankly, I'm a little bit more comfortable with the old-fashioned variety, where guys in tight uniforms goose-step through your town, because at least you know who you're fighting. And you know what it's going to take to liberate your town. Get rid of these people and everything will be okay. But when they show up and they're therapists with advanced degrees, and they look at you in the face and say, no, actually, little Dylan just needs more fentanyl. Little Dylan's actually a girl. And we're going to, yes, he's a girl. Sorry, she's a girl. She's a girl. And if you don't agree, well, maybe we may have to remove Dylan to more care-affirming custody. Oh, you're going to take my kids away. They'll never say that, of course. Because clear language is their enemy. Because clear language exposes who they really are. They're not people who are trying to help you. They are people who are trying to hurt you. Anyone who goes after your children, anyone who encourages you to have fewer children, is trying to make you extinct. It's literally that simple. And it's only in the advanced West that we don't see that. Try that crap in Bulgaria. Try that in Serbia. How do you think that would fly in Serbia? We're just going to give little Voldok some fentanyl. We think, you know, he may be, you wouldn't even get to the next sentence before you got shot. Because you're trying to kill someone's kids. And your average Serb, whatever you think of them, doesn't have generations of therapy talk that acts as a logical intermediary in his brain and prevents him from seeing what's actually going on here. They're trying to kill him. I won't allow it. I'll lay my life down to prevent it. It's literally that simple.
Little Voldok. Voldok. Is that a Serbian? It's got to be. He's never wrong. Things like that. That may be my favorite part. No, actually, all of it is my favorite part.
Yeah, it's my favorite part, too, because my father was born in Yugoslavia and raised in Serbia. So Little Voldok really resonates with me. Okay, we're going to continue. We are a little bit behind schedule, but we're going to continue with Tucker Carlson. This is a little bit longer part of his speech in Edmonton, Alberta, where he filled up a hockey arena to the gills. And one thing, again, they don't show you the audience like they did with President Trump when he had 30,000 people. They would not show you the audience. Well, here he's being covered, but they hardly have a venue or the size of the audience. But here it is, Tucker Carlson.
They want to see us ride. I guess because the only guy knows why. is wild. Thank you. Oh, I love it. Thank you for having me. I've never spoken in a cooler place in my life. I cannot believe I'm in a hockey arena in Edmonton, Canada in January. This is the coolest. My friend Theo Fleury is here, which kind of adds to the authenticity of it. Go Theo Fleury. Thank you. I am thrilled to be here. Alberta, that's exactly right. Al Freakinberta, as we call it. I was so excited to be here that I actually called the CBC and I found, which they were aware of, and I'd love to talk to you. I'd love to talk to as many Canadians as possible. And we talked to a very nice guy. I think he's new there. And he's like, sure. And we called back, and they actually, we were speaking in Calgary earlier, and they had a CBC guy there. And I said, look, I would love to talk to the CBC. I'll answer any question you like, and I dare you to put it on TV. No. And I wasn't just outraged because there's a media, state media organization that's totally opposed to free speech, which is a little weird since the media should be the defenders of the things that, you know, make their careers possible. But it also offended me personally because I feel like I have some ownership of the CBC, not because I'm a Canadian taxpayer, but because I am secretly, and I never reveal this, part Canadian. And I wouldn't say this, honestly, to an audience in Los Angeles or New York or Denver, because I don't want to be singled out, you know, or treated differently. But it's actually true. My dad's family's from Nova Scotia. And we had a place in Nova Scotia my whole life until a few years ago when we sold it to a guy called Gerald Cotton, who mysteriously died sort of colitis in India with the keys to like $1 billion in Bitcoin. And the New York Times called me and suggested I was in on his Bitcoin scam, which for the record, I'm not. But anyway, I have ties to this country and I've spent a lot of my life coming here and I just love it. And that's why I'm here. And I like Canada because I understand what Canada is, and it's not, I'm not attacking Toronto, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. By the way, I mispronounce all Canadian names just to make them laugh, but they never do. I'm in Alberta, Calgary, Ottawa, in Kanata, and no one ever, thank you for laughing. I love that. Everyone accused the Canadians of being humorless. They're just too polite to laugh in public, so, but thank you. And I called it many, many times, these outrage, there's, you don't even want to be. And of course, it was intentional until I received a very sincere email from an Ojibwa First Nations leader who said, actually, it's called Ottawa. And they've been pronouncing it all these years. That, I'm not making that up. And if you have any Ojibwa friends, ask them. It's Ottawa. So your creepy prime minister can put on the costumes of other cultures, but he doesn't really understand. But I'll be honest, two things that I like about, and totally sincere, this is not a pander. One, I like the physical country. I think it's the prettiest country in the world. And I mean that. And I've been all over it. And no one in Canada talks about it, actually. You know, they talk.
Okay, I'm going to skip all the beautiful Canada stuff because there's more important things to talk about than the scenery in Canada. He's being very gracious. So I'm going to skip a couple of minutes so we get to the gist of his oratory and his speech. Here we go.
Stupid internet service. And go sit in the dirt in the God's most beautiful country and enjoy it. And then you'll understand what Canada is. I mean it. And go catch a trout. And you don't have to kill it, but catch it. And see the kind of fish or a walleye. You don't have to go shoot a moose, though you can. But you should know the country that you live in.
Deli, we should know the country that we live in, too, here in the United States. We've gotten what America means. But Revolution Radio is trying to remind you. It is not kowtowing to the Democrat DEI. Diversity, equity, and inclusion ideology.
I am not God. all goodness flows from that realization. If you don't reach that conclusion, then in the end, you find yourself very tempted to commit genocide. Because it's true. And everyone who has reached the conclusion, the same conclusion, I am God. So let's just start there. So anyway, I love this country, and I admire its natural resources, and I think you could have one of the greatest economies in the world with a population of 40 million and some of the deepest energy reserves in the world and mineral deposits in the world. And I've been to a lot of your extraction sites, I'm just saying. And, you know, extraction is an ugly business by its nature, but Canadians, true to form, have done their best to make it as tidy and respectful as they can. And I've seen it. I've seen it firsthand. You've never seen more conscientious energy extraction than in Canada. They, like, apologize for taking it out. It's great. So I love that. And the other thing I love about Canada are the people, and I love the thing that other people mock Canadians for, which is their politeness. The Anglo commitment to never offending you no matter what, no matter how much they hate you. Even the CBC today, they were like sort of apologizing for calling me a Nazi, like, well, we'd love to have you on, but we have to have another meeting and we've got to do another segment on intersectionality. And obviously, they know that I'm a racist because I don't believe in climate change and I'm not trans, because that makes sense. And that's the sum total of their entire programming schedule. Flip on CBC. So you're racist.
Okay.
Yeah. So obviously, there's some invention on my destruction,
but they're very polite about it, which I try to appreciate.
I do, because I believe even their theory right there.
Without my last idea.
And I appreciate that. I do appreciate that. And I strive to be a lighter person and not always
see, you know, kind of people in use vanity, but in my heart, as an Anglo, I usually strive to be polite.
And you all it all off in a way that's more than admirable. Thank you for that, for adding some level of civility in the world. But, thank you. But here's my concern. And it's part of a larger concern that people's best qualities are leveraged against them. And that what unscrupulous people in power do if they're smart. That's what I mean, young men, tight uniforms to goose-step through your town, because it's a little bit too obvious, you've so the... And you sort of know what happens next. You take up arms, you run resistance, you drive the people out, and return, right? You guys have seen that movie. It's been done about 2,000 times. And only that's what we're facing. Because that's straightforward. That's the kind of masculine expression of fascism. But the West is now facing our slyer opponent, which is the feminine expression of fascism. The Christian Freeland version of fascism.
Okay, again, you know, I don't think it's by chance that we're having these problems with the sound. A lot of people in the alternate media find that there's a lot of interference. And again, this is a consequence of Big Brother, but it's not like a human brother. It's artificial intelligence that has been programmed to look for key words, key phrases, and will interfere. But they can keep interfering, and we will keep resetting. So he's now talking about Chrystia Freeland. She's like the vice president of Canada, vice premier. She's like the Kamala Harris of Canada.
Yes. Yes. And I know a lot about this because I knew Chrystia Freeland when she, you know, was a journalist at the Financial Times, whose name shall forever live in infamy for employing her. And I remember even then thinking, this woman is not bright at all. But boy, does she have high self-esteem. I don't think I've ever even seen it's off the, I don't know what the self-esteem measurement scale is, the Richter scale. But her self-esteem was unassailable. It was bomb-proof. If a nuclear bomb dropped on your town, you could hide beneath Chrystia Freeland's self-esteem and live. There's like nothing you could get. Evidence of her and wrong decisions and idiotic views could dissuade her from the core of and you were not. And I kind of stood back in admiration. So I guess I shouldn't be totally shocked that she's helping to run and destroy your country. But she's doing it in her signature way. She's not getting on the CBC. her media outlet, which, like almost all outlets in this wonderful oppressed country, is run by the government. It's all state media. It's Albania, 1985. And I'm sure we have people whose families were refugees from Albania. Welcome. And you know what I'm talking about. But at least you could say of the Albanian leader in 1985, Enver Hoxha, that when he went full fascist, he just like didn't mince words. Chrystia Freeland is wise enough, clever enough, in her serpent-like way, to make it all about your protection and safety. All about your protection and safety. No, we're just trying to help you. That's why you're in shackles. You're being arrested right now for your safety. Oh, it's for the common good. Don't worry, you'll understand. I always want to say, Mrs. Freeland, can I go to the bathroom? No. No, you can't. And you can just imagine her taking great glee as your fourth grade self wet his pants in class as Mrs. Freeland refuses to let you go to the bathroom. So that's kind of more diabolical than what we've seen in previous generations, and it's much more effective in a committedly polite country like Canada because you don't know that it's happening. And because a demagogue like that, or your complete cross-dressing prime minister, it's true, Prime Minister Blackface, I didn't wear blackface, he did. He, three times, thank you, three times, and I want to thank you for your commitment to the facts. The Prime Minister, their attack on your rights, which is an attack on you and your children, is put in the language of therapy, self-help, and compassion. You're doing this for the common good. Don't you care about the elderly? And of course, being a decent person, you care really about the elderly and the weakest in your society. Of course. So what you don't realize is you shuffle off to abandon another God-given right to a totalitarian government is that this is not being done by an allies group or the weakest or the elderly. They hijacked the language of the gospel to crush the gospel. That's exactly what. And it's hard to sort of see this when you're right in the middle of it. If you ever had a friend married to an alcoholic, wow, your spouse was a raging drunk. And oftentimes the spouse is like, didn't really know. If you live with someone, behavior is completely off the chain. Sometimes you're not aware of it because you're too close to it. So let me just tell you from my perspective as a foreigner, a semi-foreigner with some Canadian blood in my veins, what I'm seeing. And here are the markers for the malice that undergirds these expressions of false compassion. We're just trying to help. Really? They're trying to help? How does it help you or your family when the government of Britain gives fentanyl to your children without your knowledge? That is literally happening right now. And it's been stopped by the premier here, who's not giving fentanyl to children. Amen. Bravo. Hard to believe you even have to say that. But it is happening right down the road, right over the mountains in British Columbia. What is that? It's not an expression of compassion. Fentanyl is the number one killer of people under 40 in the United States. Number one. There's no safe dosage of fentanyl. It's a poison. Manufactured in Mexico with Chinese precursors designed to kill people, and it does. And so to hand that to children without their parents' knowledge is what? An attempt to kill your children. What else could it be? That's not compassion. There's no other way to read that. And I just fear if you're in the middle of a society that says that's okay, or it's on the spectrum of okay, it's something that we should consider, you may lose sight of the fact that completely unacceptable. It's a declaration of war against you and your children. People who are to kill your children are not your friend. They're your sworn blood enemy. Is there another way to interpret that? Am I being crazy? I don't think that I am. And in less developed countries, this would be very obvious. Go try that in Burkina Faso. I'm serious. Show up in Ouagadougou next week with a briefcase full of fentanyl and say, I'm going to pass this out to the neighborhood kids, but I'm not going to tell the parents. Those would be your last words. You would be ripped apart. You're coming to kill my children? No. They don't even have electricity in parts of Burkina Faso, but they have a gut-level sense that your primary duty on this earth is to protect your children. If you can't protect your children, and not even spiritually or intellectually, then who are you? You're a husk. You're a shameful husk. That's what you are. There's no greater dereliction. There's no worse abandonment than leaving your children to be harmed in the hands of others. So, obviously, try that in Eastern Europe. Even Eastern Europe, which does have electricity. And by the way, no homelessness or graffiti or public drug use. How are they that off? Amazing. I guess Bucharest, Romania is a lot more advanced than New York City now. Because they won't put up with it. And they won't put up with the tax on their own children. Because they haven't been socialized to the point where they've lost their souls. That's the truth. The MAID program, which nobody wants to talk about, because nobody, and again, this is not an attack, it's a compliment. People here, I'm from a very similar culture, don't want to talk about things that make other people uncomfortable. Really like is a dinner among the Episcopalians, where there's a lot of sort of semi-drunk, sullen silentness. You know what I mean? As people kind of secretly resent each other, but no one can say anything about it. And apparently, you know, at some point, somebody get drunk enough just to say, I hate you.
Well, we're going to take a little break here. We're almost at the station break, and again, we're having interference. However, I thank you all for listening. Stay tuned. We are going to play the rest of Tucker Carlson's. This is the most important part of the segment as far as I'm concerned. He's talking about the MAID program, medically assisted suicide. They make it sound so nice, as he said, you know. In the terms of compassion and caring and for the common good. He's going to reveal that Canada has killed 50,000 people last year under this MAID program, medically assisted suicide. And again, I'm going to emphasize the need to keep Revolution Radio on the air with contributions. The saying is, no bucks, no Buck Rogers. And that's an axiom born out of the space program. So this is about space exploration. Who are you? That's really the question that Tucker Carlson is asking. Who are you really inside? Are you a real person with a real soul? Or as he said, just a husk, an empty shell? Well, we're not empty at Revolution Radio, and I'm sure you're not, because if you were, you wouldn't be here. You'd be watching CNN or some other junk. Anyway, we're at the break, and I'd like to thank Mr. Rowe and Ahmad Painter and Monster, the engineers who keep this radio station going. Thank you. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Natural Law. Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Join Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda.
countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with truths, and because of this, vital information are often compromised. Jot every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Interrupt your normally scheduled programming to bring you this important broadcasting announcement.
Now is the time to explore your greatest potential, embracing truth, health, and wellness while discarding the system and exposing its corruption. Experience true freedom every Saturday night between 6 p.m. Eastern Standard. It's the Jonathan Wright Show.
Find it right here at revolution.io.
The Secret Kindergarten is here for the young children of the world. The best program on the radio for kids. Dealing with the most important topics in the whole universe. Fairy tales, music and movement, numbers, plants, animals, fun, colors, insects. Take care and cast your ears out to catch a story world of other young things. Reach out, up, under, and over. Sing a song. Talk about feelings. Just remember the magic word. The magic word is no. Step on into the Secret Garden. Saturdays, 2 p.m. to 3 p.m. right here on Revolution Radio.
Take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
A third majority in the case of
be
more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that. Oh, what? Come here. What are you going to do, bleed on me? I'm invincible.
You're a little...
Always triumph.
Roundtable Live, Monday to Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Greetings and welcome back to part two of the Morningstar Report for Sunday, the 28th of January. Holy mackerel, the year is almost over. You think I'm kidding? This year is going to race past so fast. Well, we're listening to Tucker Carlson's Crusade in Canada. And earlier in the program that 4 years ago, I saw my Canadian co-host, Andrew, the day may come when we Americans have to invade Canada to free you and your people from communism. Lo and behold, it has begun. We've been doing it for 4 years on the airwaves, but Tucker Carlson has braved the Arctic North. He was being a little facetious when he said that he was up there in Alberta and that it was the coolest a speech he's ever given, and that's because the temperature was so cold in the arena, in the hockey arena. I love his sense of humor, his wit, and he actually gives some good advice at the end of this. And he encourages people to laugh at tyranny, and that's not an original thought. He actually got that where I got it, which is from Mark Twain. Mark Twain said that no tyranny, no orthodoxy. No dictatorship can stand the force of laughter. It's a very powerful force. Satire. It's almost art in America. Satire. Because you hurt my feelings. Oh, you committed a hate crime. You hurt somebody's feelings. You wouldn't believe it, folks. I'm not being facetious. I saw a man in England arrested by the British police. They went to his house and they said, you posted something on Facebook. And he said, what was it? He said, we don't know. He said, but what's the problem? He said, you hurt somebody's feelings. He said, Eric, we can't tell you. What did I say? We can't tell you. And they actually shackled the man and carried him off. So, folks, this is not something that's just happening locally in Canada. It's happening in Canada, in Britain, in Ireland, in France, in Germany, all over the socialist West. And yes, that's what it is, socialism. And people hear socialism and you think that being social is good. That may be. But being socialist is bad, right? There is no good thing about socialism, whether it's neutral and neutered socialism or national socialism as in Nazis or international socialism as in communism. They all oppress individuality. It tries to create a hive mind in society. Like army ants. Army ants have the queen, the drones, and the workers. And that's it. And there's no social mobility. The only way to move socially in a socialist society is to become part of the apparatus. And that's why the apparatus, the governing bureaucracy, cutthroat. And we can see that happened in Ukraine. The oligarchs installed a $3 bill as president. He instantly nationalized all news outlets, radio stations, TV stations, newspapers, and then began prosecuting, persecuting, and killing Ukrainian journalists. And as you heard me in the prem, they murdered our colleague, our friend, my brother-in-arms, Gonzalo Lira, in jail, in a prison hospital. That's how it works. So now we're going to go back to Tucker Carlson and see how it works in Canada with medically assisted suicide. Euthanasia. Such a nice-sounding term for mercy killing. The emphasis should be on killing and not on mercy, because it's really not merciful. So with that, let's return to Tucker Carlson. We'll reiterate some of his previous comments to get in train with it. And here we go. We need a little volume here.
Try that in Eastern Europe. Even Eastern Europe, which does have electricity. And by the way, no homelessness or graffiti or public drug use. How are they pulling that off? Amazing. Bucharest, Romania is a lot more advanced than New York City now. Because they won't put up with it. And they won't put up with the tax on their own children because they haven't been socialized to the point where they've lost their souls. That's the truth. The MAID program, which nobody wants to talk about because nobody, and again, this is not an attack, it's a compliment. People here, I'm from a very similar culture, don't want to talk about things that make other people uncomfortable. So it really like is a Christmas dinner among the Episcopalians where there's a lot of sort of semi-drunk, sullen silentness. You know what I mean? As people kind of secretly resent each other, but no one can say anything about it. And apparently, you know, at some point somebody get drunk enough just to say, I hate you. Everyone puts their heads down again. The government of Canada is killing Canadians, and not just a few and not just the terminally ill. Over 50,000. 50,000. Any organization that kills 50,000 people is a genocidal organization. And I don't care how you dress it up. That's just a fact. That's like a bottom line on a chart. How many people have you killed? Oh, 50,000. Oh, you're not in the good guy category. Sorry, we can't. We're going to bring you up at The Hague, actually, where you should be.
And now, under consideration, apparently next month, is a plan to expand the MAID program, the systematic killing of Canadians, not all of whom are terminally ill, many of whom are just sad because Canadian society has made them sad. They're going to expand that to children. And that's the point at which you have to say, I'm sorry, we're not doing it anymore. You literally do that. And I don't care if someone, you don't need to be, by the way, a religious freak to think it's wrong for a government scale. And I don't care, choice, they'll dress it up. No, it's totally evil, is the truth. And it's deeply revealing of who they are and what they want. It's deeply revealing. The standard of living in Canada, which secretly a lot of, no American would ever tell you this because no American ever wants to think about Canada or admit that there are things about Canada that are cooler than the United States, including your Rockies, by the way, which are better. Sorry. But one of the things Canada always had was this incredibly robust middle class. It didn't have these super jagged wealth distributions that the United States had. It was much more like Scandinavia than Dallas. And I personally always liked that. I did. I mean, the downside was some of your, you know, most energetic people left because they wanted to become billionaires. But a lot of really smart people stayed because they liked being around people like them and their neighbors and whatever. Before your eyes, the Canadian standard of living is in free fall at exactly the moment when Canada is importing more people per capita than any nation in the world. It's the highest immigration rate in the world. So this is something that no Canadian will talk about. And you have to ask why. Well, there are two reasons. First, as I mentioned, they don't want to offend anybody, and it's touchy, and no one wants to be called a racist. It has nothing to do with race. It has everything to do with population numbers and the strain on available resources, public and private. Housing prices, for example. Your healthcare system, of which you were once so proud. It's so overburdened that it's easier to get into the MAID program than it is to schedule a surgery. It's easier to be killed by the government than healed by the government. That's true. Look it up. So it's at exactly that point that they're like, oh, our country is underpopulated. In a sense, who would have populated? The second biggest country in the world with 40 million people in it? That sounds like paradise to me. Are you joking? And they're nice people. What is going on? The second reason no one wants to talk about it in Canada is because immigration has been a good thing for Canada over the years. Some of the coolest people in the world have moved to Canada and the United States, by the way. Immigration is not bad. Many people here are the product of fairly recent immigration. It's good. But like anything in the temporal world, it's not all good. It can be good. It can also be really bad. It can enhance your country. It can destroy your country. Choose. So if you have an immigration policy that makes your country stronger, your economy stronger, your country more cohesive, amen. And you have had that for generations. And everybody in Canada is happy about that. That's not what you have now. You have the wholesale importation of millions of people into your country us benefit at exactly the time when your housing prices are so out of control. Like, can your kids afford a house? This is true in my country too. And so the question you have to ask is, why is the government doing this? Is there an economic case to be made? Maybe there is. I've never heard it. Maybe there's some central planner who's decided this is going to make us all much happier and much more prosperous. They don't even attempt to convince you of that. They just shout slogans in your face, and if you ask a question, they call you a racist. And if you say, but I'm actually not a racist, and I'm not speaking for myself, I just want to know the answer. Why are you doing this? Without the consent of the governed, it's a decision you made unilaterally, and they won't answer your question. Diversity is our strength. Okay, that may be true. It may not be true. I don't know. It's a metaphysical question, actually. But in practical terms, why do we have the highest immigration rate in the world? Shut up! And of course, the answer is political power. Political power. This is a democracy. Your citizenship entitles you to choose your leaders. Your vote is valuable to the supply of those votes. It's very much unlike the Canadian dollar. Right? Or the U.S. dollar. Which in a pinch, they can just print more of. But then the Canadian dollars you have in your pocket are worth less. Do you know anything about this? Have you heard this principle before? It's called supply and demand. And if you misuse it, if you ignore the most basic law of economics, you wind up with, repeat after me, inflation, with which you are familiar. Just inflation. The same principle holds for citizenship in a democracy. And if you'd like the way that the public votes, import new voters. And that's precisely what they're doing. They're doing that in the United States as well. And here's my point. You're taking it because no one's saying anything. And I'm just warning you that if this was a mistake, if these were policies formulated by people who actually went off course and were doing the wrong thing, as you often do with your kids, if you have children, you often make the wrong decision with your kids. But you're brought back on course by your love for your children. So over time, you make the right decisions because you're animated for a desire to protect them because you love them. But if you hated your children, all of your mistakes would be in one direction, and that direction would be toward destruction. And there is zero evidence that the Trudeau government loves you. And there's overwhelming evidence that they hate you and your families. How is that not true? If Liberal and NDP politicians are sending fentanyl to your children, if they're trying to add your children to the list of people who can be killed by the state, who aren't even terminally ill, if they are changing the composition of your country without asking your permission, if every communication you have with Ottawa is a lecture about your moral deficiency, shut up, racist. There's no love at all. There's only contempt. And the reason I'm saying this is not to upset anyone or hurt anyone's feelings, but it's very important. It's the most important thing to understand the terms of the debate, consequences of its outcome. These are high stakes questions. You thought Quebec separatism was a big deal. This is a big deal, what you're living through. And not just you, but the entire West. These exact issues mirror those throughout the Anglosphere. That would include the United States and the UK and Australia and New Zealand. And for reasons that I can't fully comprehend, because I am not God, these trends are present in all of those countries at exactly the same time. And those countries are on the brink of becoming not salvageable because the people who live in them have been broken and led astray, misled by their leaders and ultimately replaced by their leaders. And that's not a conspiracy theory. It's a fact based on the numbers. And anyone who tells you, oh, that's a racist conspiracy theory, lay out the numbers for them. What are we looking at? What's the justification for this? Why are you doing this? As the people who are born here languish and decide it's better to die than to keep living here, why aren't you helping? So here's my advice. First thing you need to do, I think, in this country is figure out a way to tell people what's happening. And I would do it in a very Canadian style, in a non-inflammatory, highly rational, super polite, nice, but also uncompromising way. These are the stakes. This is the truth. I'm going to stand on the truth. Unfortunately, you don't have you have a couple of wonderful media outlets who I've spent a lot of time with in this country, but they're small. All of your media. Yeah, that's right. That's what I was thinking of. All of your media, with only a few exceptions, are controlled by the state. It's not just CDC. CBC. We have an institution in our country called the CDC, which is almost... almost as sinister. But you need a way for Canadians to know what's happening and to understand. You need a way. And it can't just be about Justin Trudeau, who's, if I can just say, so absurd that guy is going to sashay off into history fairly soon, I think. Because, I mean, honestly... Someone told me last night, I was talking to someone, to one of your countrymen at dinner last night, and Justin Trudeau, who I've never met, though I know his cousin Gavin Newsom, but he's so ridiculous, so transparently phony. I mean, I'm mesmerized watching him. And so my very obvious, as a foreigner, question at dinner was, does anyone believe him? And everyone at the table said, oh yeah, young people do. And I hope that's not true. No, it's not true. But the point is, there can't be more than 20% of Canadians who think he's not repulsive because he's just so obviously repulsive. But would you leave your kids with him? Would you be like, oh, you know, we're going on, we need to go to Canadian Tire for an hour. Justin, can you watch my kids? I don't think you're going to do that. But you hand him your country. It's totally cool. Don't worry. He's a good steward. But he will collapse under the weight of his own ludicrousness and go back to Cuba or do whatever he does. But what? You know, I don't know. It's too great to check. Though if I meet him, I'm going to demand a 23andMe, like, right away. But he will disappear from the world stage, and, you know, I don't think history is going to treat him well. And he'll probably be, like, a university professor or work for Bill Gates or something equally ignominious. But the problem won't end there, because he is part of a structure that is itself rotten, and in fact that it, you know, has elevated him to the top. And that's really the problem. And the only solution is for not radical people, but just clear-thinking people to say, absolutely not, and here's why. And to stand firm in the face of their kryptonite. And their kryptonite is the word racist. And as someone who's been called racist like 50,000 times, I have kind of a PhD in that. And here's what I've learned. I'll never forget the first time that Southern CNN, or one of the totally discredited propaganda outlets in my country, was like, he's a racist. And wow, it really hurt my feelings. And I thought, I can't believe they call me a racist. That's like horrifying. And my second thought was, am I a racist? Because when you're accused of something, I mean, it's just reflexive. Your first thought is to sort of take snap. And I thought to myself, no, I'm actually not. And then I just said, well, then why would I be? I mean, if they said, you know, Tucker Carlson gained 30 pounds this summer from eating pizza, I'd be totally ashamed, because, of course, that's true. But every summer, by the way, my whole life. But I'll admit it. But I'm not a racist. So I just decided, you know what? The only people who can really be upset about being called racist are the racists. And the rest of us can sort of stand strong and smile and say, I'm not a racist, I'm sorry. I just don't like you, actually. But that's the leash. That's how they keep you silent. And when they started calling people who question climate change, just cracks me up. In a country shaped by glaciers, has there been climate change before? I'm just wondering. Oh, did the glaciers melt because of SUVs? No, I don't know. We'll check. Anyway, climate change. But when they started saying that people who doubted climate change, it's hilarious, were racist, I was like, okay. Right.
I'm going to interrupt this dissertation on climate change, because I'm going to continue it. I'm not going to deprive you of the wisdom of Tucker Carlson, but I want to give you an example that just a dear friend of mine, and I really do mean dear, you know, we're a lot of love between us, you know, philosophically, sent me a sensationalist article that's scientists proclaim that the east coast of the United States is sinking alarmingly at the rate of 5 millimeters per year. And I did a double take. You know, Americans, you know, we're the foot pound inch people and the miles people. And socialists and Europeans are into the millimeter and the centimeter and so on. Different measure. But I made it a point to understand the conversion. So I said, 5 millimeters per year? East New York, my city, my beloved city, is sinking at 5 millimeters per year. Now, a couple of years ago, I did a measurement from my balcony. I live on the third floor of an old building, about 100-year-old building in New York City. And I have a, you know, a view to the 92nd Street. It's not spectacular. I can see Broadway out of the corner of my eye. But I took my GPS and I put it out the window and I measured when I had three satellites to measure exactly how high above sea level I'm. And my balcony happens to be about 100 feet and 3 inches above sea level. So I go and I do the conversion for 5 millimeters. And 5 millimeters turns out to be 0.19 of an inch. So you can round it off to 0.2 of an inch, right? That's about 1/5 of an inch. So then I took 0.2, and it's going to take 6,315 years for the water to reach the level of my balcony. And like I say to people facetiously, yeah, if you've ever been to Venice, Venice is a very beautiful city, one of the most beautiful cities and romantic cities I've ever been. And I love boats. So that's my answer to this. And then I thought, okay, you're 100 feet above sea level. So what if you're only 5 feet above sea level? And so I did 5 feet above sea level. It turns out to be 300 years. So New Yorkers, New Jerseyites, Staten Islandites, Connecticut, it's going to take 300 years for the water to rise at the rate of 5 millimeters per year as we're sinking. The other point is most of this about the oceans rising, it hasn't got to do anything with the ocean rising. The ocean is creating erosion. The tides come in, the tide goes out, the storms come in, they wash away the shore, and it looks like the ocean is rising. It's erosion. So all of this climate change anti-science, it's completely bogus. And it's become a religion. And as Tucker Carlson is saying, you know, if you don't believe in climate change, you're a racist. So yes, New York is sinking at 5 millimeters per year, but it's going to take 300 years. And we're going to see it coming, right? I told my friend, 6,315 years for me at 100 feet or 300 years. I think I have enough time to build a boat, build a submarine before the catastrophe hits us. So let's go back to Tucker Carlson. Now, that's real science that I just gave you, but you won't get that science from the New York Times. Tucker Carlson.
Two pieces of advice, and I'll stop with this, and we'll get to our panel with smarter people than I. Is one, be strong inside, know who you are. If you're not a racist, it shouldn't hurt to be called one. It really shouldn't. And two, I've been attacked for calling Canadians humorless or whatever, and as I've said, I don't think that at all. I do think you've lost an audience who fled your country to the South. Because I do think it's hard to, there's a culture of self-restraint and of modesty here, clearly. And I think it's hard for Canadians, someone else, because it feels forbidden. And I get that, and I appreciate that sentiment. But now is the time for mockery. It is. You are led by buffoons in costume. You really are. And if Chrystia Freeland, fascist midget, and Justin Trudeau, perky little Justin Trudeau, those are your leaders, okay? And if you can't laugh in their faces, if your first response is, how do I get to a place where you, who I wouldn't hire to clean my pool, is running my country, get out of here, freak! Go back to your costume party. Laugh in their faces. Nothing is more empowering to you and more disempowering to them, because the one thing they want is to be taken seriously. These are broken people. These are hollow people who are desperate for power because there's nothing else inside. There's nothing else inside. A normal person doesn't lust for power. He doesn't. He can use power to affect good, but power for its own sake is not interesting to him. In fact, it's dangerous, and wise people stay away from it. And so the kind of people who do lust for power are freaks. They're sideshow freaks. And the last thing they want is for you to say that out loud, because they melt. Like a vampire at noon, they just disappear. And the second you laugh at them, you realize how good it feels to tell the truth. You are empowered by the spirit of truth when you do that, and you become stronger. And so I look forward to your mockery of the people.
Thank you, Tucker Carlson. Well, words of wisdom. I told you that was Mark Twain. That was pure Mark Twain that he was revealing at the end of that dissertation. Okay, now we're going to turn our attention to a very serious situation, which is reviewing the plandemic, right? We survived it. A lot of people made mistakes, just as Tucker Carlson said, in the name of goodness, compassion, the common good. Beware that term, folks. Beware the term of the common good. There is no good if something is bad for you. So we're going to review Polly. She's a Canadian patriot. We're going to review the last 4 years of the COVID pandemic and how badly people turned against prophylactics that worked, alternative therapies, forbidden to use them, forbidden to use ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, vitamin D3, zinc. I'm giving you the list of all the things that protected us and will protect you now, even now. Even those of you who took the jab and are now suffering the consequences of the jab, which include regular death by heart attacks, various kinds of heart attacks. Yesterday, got a report that a 33-year-old health advisor, and very popular one in Brazil, passed away at age 33. He was a 42-year-old newscaster. Athletes dropping on the field. And it's myocarditis, pericarditis, heart attack, double heart attack. This lady in Brazil died from a double heart attack. You should see her photograph. She seemed like the most physically fit person on planet Earth. So they lied about everything. Fauci prescribed only one therapy for COVID-19 in hospitals, which was remdesivir, and he altered the data on the studies. He eliminated the data after the eighth day. Why? Because the data proved that remdesivir killed you of kidney failure on the 10th day after showing an improvement in COVID-19 through the eighth day. So when he submitted his statistics to CDC and to the national press, he gave the data for the which showed that remdesivir cut down the congestion and inflammation in the lungs, but he hid the fact that on the 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th day, it was going to kill you because it killed your kidney functions. So that's the kind of science, and that's what anti-science, that's the kind of science that Fauci, Collins, and the rest of these murderers, really, medical murdering, the MAID program, mutually assisted suicide in Canada. How quaint. How nice. Oh, have you applied for the MAID program yet? Have you applied? Have you registered your children for the MAID program? You know, if you're feeling sad, you can't find a job or a place to live, maybe you should just end it all. Folks, I'm not exaggerating. That's exactly what they did with one lady who was really having trouble functioning. After they closed down the economy, they locked down people for a year, right, which leads to isolation and depression. She said, I can't find a job, I can't find a place to live, and I'm really sad. They said, oh, well, if you're really sad, you know, maybe you should apply for the MAID program. And they did. They killed her. And that's what Tucker Carlson was talking about. They dress it up in the terms of compassion and concern, mercy. As I say, the term is euthanasia, a very nice-sounding medical term. It's mercy killing. But they emphasize mercy. There's no mercy. Right? The killing is the bad part. And that's what should be emphasized. So right now I'm going to turn to this commentators from way up north in Canada, Polly St. George, the amazing Polly. She's going to review for us. There was a conference of medical experts, recently that has been banned and excluded from major media. But again, alternate media, Revolution Radio in this case, is going to present it to you. And I think it's 33 doctors who met to share their views on what was done and what needs to be done, because they're planning another pandemic. They call it Disease X. The Chinese have developed a variant of COVID-19, which they claim is 100% lethal. So under the guise, the ruse of this Disease X, they are planning more vaccines and more isolation. But remember, the Supreme Court of the United States determined in the aftermath of the way Joe Biden ran the show, the dog and pony show here, lockdowns are unconstitutional. Forced medication is unconstitutional. So, we know the score as Americans. No more, and masking. Masking, lockdowns, and forced vaccinations are all unconstitutional. And it's coming to a head because we're either going to stand up for the Constitution, which defines us as Americans, or we're going to go down like other great civilizations have gone down through the course of history. So let's now turn to and hear what she has to share regarding true dissidents. She pointed out that the true COVID dissidents were trying to warn you from the very beginning.
A group of doctors, medical professionals have gotten together and they made a video called Ask the Experts. Each one of them gave a short testimony. In record time, YouTube pulled this video down. And what I'm going to do right now, I am going to show you 7 to 10 minutes worth of these experts making their statements as they made on that video. Now, remember, I have cut 2/3 or more out of this video, so it's worth going to watch the whole thing. There's so much more in there. I just want to give you a flavor of what these medical professionals in their fields, what they have to say.
Now, due to the excuse of a global pandemic, the pharma industry has the permission to skip the animal trials. This means that we humans will be the guinea pigs, and we might get severe side effects when we are exposed to new viruses.
COVID-19 vaccine has not been proven safe and effective. It's a new technology, and it's been tested on a few thousands of people in a few months. Please do your own research.
We believe that it is reckless and unnecessary to roll out these essentially experimental vaccines that are using a completely new mRNA technology to millions of people, when there is only limited short-term safety data, no evidence that they will prevent transmission of the virus, and no long-term safety data to rule out late-onset negative effects.
And is not a real medical pandemic. The COVID-19 vaccine is not proven safe or effective because there is not enough time.
There has never been a licensed RNA vaccine, and this is not because there have been many clinical trials, but that in the safety studies, there was significant adverse events and death in the animals that were used in these studies over the past 20 years.
That there is no long-term safety data on any of the COVID vaccines. This means that they are essentially experimenting on us, which is against the Nuremberg Code.
Here representing the UK Medical Freedom Alliance, this is a growing body of doctors, scientists, academics and lawyers. We believe that there has been an overestimation of the public health risk from SARS-CoV-2 due to misrepresentation of data and inappropriate use.
The PCR test is inaccurate. It actually causes so many false positives.
There is no emergency situation. It was all orchestrated to make you fearful enough. this vaccine is just not proven safe. It has lived quickly. We have no idea what the effects will be.
This is not a real medical pandemic the world is enduring at this time. The vaccine has not been proven safe or effective, and I will not be taking and or recommending it because there is no safe vaccine.
For the companies that are producing, take responsibility for the products they make. How can they expect doctors to inject them to their patients without doubt of doing harm? More and more, we see that really not a medicine, corona, cause far more collateral damage than the virus causes itself. Worldwide, we see that the numbers of cases are falsely presented in order to drive the population to obedient behavior and vaccination. So please be critical, do your own research, and don't let the media manipulate you. I think it's time to react, time to stand up for your freedom, for the future of your children. Don't give in to anxiety, to polarization, to governmental control, and to restriction of your freedom, a false pretext of a virus, because that's what's happening.
The real epidemic is fear and hysteria. The hysteria was accelerated by corporations who gain financially through selling fast-tracked, flawed medical tests, toxic antiviral drugs, and now unproven and potentially dangerous vaccines. You can read about the flaws in the PCR test at www.cormandrostenreview.com.
I'm here to tell you that there is no worldwide pandemic for COVID-19. We're using testing mechanisms called PCR that have never been indicated or created to diagnose any infection. On top of that, I am here to tell you that I will not take the COVID-19 vaccine, and I will not recommend the COVID-19 vaccine to any of my patients.
My name is Dr. Bear Lando. Kidney vaccine damaged children due to the lack of proper testing and the spurious conditions surrounding the alleged pandemic. I would highly caution anyone considering taking the COVID-19 vaccine.
Do I believe that the population need this new COVID-19 dangerous vaccine that's not had to trials done before? Absolutely not. No one needs it. Do I believe that our government should be arrested for possibly genocide? Absolutely.
The vaccines carry the risk of immune enhancement. Instead of protecting against infection, the vaccine can make the disease worse when a vaccinated person is infected with the virus. Secondly, in the UK, the Medicines and Healthcare Products Regulatory Agency has made an urgent request. Quote, the MHRA seeks an artificial intelligence software tool to process the expected high volume of COVID-19 vaccine adverse drug reactions.
Man måste vara spritsprångande, galen för att dela ett otestat experimentellt vaccin som kommer från en kriminell tillverkare som tar igenom stridsfasen och profiterar enormt genom att pressa folk att ta det.
Or, personne qui a travaillé dans le vaccin sait qu'on a besoin de temps pour pouvoir collecter suffisamment de données pour assurer l'efficacité et la sécurité d'un vaccin et en comprendre les tenants et les aboutissants.
I strongly disagree to getting vaccinated with this experimental preparation called the corona vaccine.
The COVID vaccine is not proven safe or effective.
These actions appear as violent symptoms, for example, chronic fatigue, muscular contractions, or mental health disorders ranging from depression to suicidal tendencies. And all of these are, in fact, side effects of the vaccine's influence.
They have been trying to develop a coronavirus vaccine since 2002, since we had SARS. And every animal study that they've done, particularly the ferret study, which the ferret's immune system mimics the human adult immune system. Ferret studies, rabbits, and rat studies, all the animals ended up with a paradoxical immune response in which the antibody levels that were very high actually accelerated the infection, made it much worse, and allowed the pieces of the virus to go inside of the cell and be into the DNA of the recipient of that vaccine by a process called transduction.
And on July 15, the European Parliament agreed to remove the need of risk evaluation requested under the GMO regulations. That decision was made in 10 days. There were no scientific reports, no hearings in Health Commission, no debate, and no amendments prior to this vote. Our legislators have abandoned the principle of precaution by putting blind faith in a dangerous experiment.
I agree with the British Medical Journal. That's not done honestly. The claimed 90% effect is really only 0.2%. You study the results. I wonder, why did Gates and his conspiracy terrorists spend billions to develop vaccines, men, women, and even their unborn children?
I want to tell you about three things. First of all, this vaccine could be sterilizing women and girls. Secondly, this vaccine could cause a viral interference, a priming, and then it can cause a cytokine storm. This has been seen in humans and animal testing with other coronavaccines. And then third, this vaccine could change your genetic blueprint, your genetic code, your DNA forever, and we don't know what that's going to bring you.
We have to remember that health does not come from the injection of toxins into our bodies, rather from deciding what it means to human and pursuing that with all your heart.
Any medical intervention, testing, treatment, or can only implement it in an ethical and legal way based on an individual medical consideration, well-informed patient consent, and clinical evidence of harmlessness.
There is no pandemic, and the vaccine is neither safe nor effective, and to give an untested vaccine to entire humanity and use them as guinea pigs is complete madness and nothing else, and we must stop it now.
The better part of a century, vaccination has relied on corrupt science, propaganda, and systemic suppression of true informed consent.
Doctors aren't allowed to question COVID-19 in public. Material containing the truth about the alleged disease and the vaccine is banned. In the last year, I've been demonized and lot and a 50-year career and reputation trashed by those promoting a pandemic that never was and a vaccine that was never needed. The whole COVID-19 scam is, as I said in March, the greatest hoax in history. The principle of informed consent is essential in medicine, but patients now having vaccines can't give informed consent because they aren't being informed.
So set the example, stand up, continue to fight, continue to speak out, especially for your children.
These were some of the original COVID dissidents. To see more courageous professionals, please watch. Honest experts are trying to warn you. This is from Amazing Polly. Now, the most remarkable thing to me right now is that you would think that these comments were given in retrospect, but no. This is what was known in December of 2020, 3 years ago. They knew what the situation was, and they tried to warn the world. So it was called Ask the Experts. And by December of 2020, this is already known. And the Mockingbird media, the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, all the parrots and the mockingbirds kept telling you lie upon lie upon lie. And as a result, they are responsible for the disabilities and the deaths of millions upon millions of people. And it goes on. It's not over. But the one ray of hope, folks, for those of you who did take the vaccine, is that the same therapies that were useful and the same prophylactics that are useful in protecting people from getting it and getting them while they had it will help you mitigate the effects of the mRNA vaccine. So don't give up hope. Don't take any more boosters. Don't believe in these disease and circumstances. Submit to lockdowns, masking, PCR testing that doesn't really test but actually infects, and any of the other ploys that this genocidal world government cabal is trying to execute. The next one, mass murder plan, is war. I don't know if you've heard, but the International Court of Justice at The Hague condemned Israel for genocide and cease and desist. Yesterday I got word that Pakistan attacked Iran. They're launching missiles at each other across the Iranian border. Each of them has radical fanatics. One group is Sunni, and they're going at it against each other. But in this outbreak of hostility between Pakistan and Iran, I see the world war plan being orchestrated. And what I foresee is that the Western world is enlisting Pakistan to be the one that delivers the nuclear strike on Iran. Pakistan is a nuclear-armed nation. They have both the nuclear weapons, which they developed, contrary to the proliferation treaties that have been signed through the United Nations, and they imported the missile technology from North Korea. So Pakistan gave North Korea nuclear weapons, and North Korea gave Pakistan the delivery systems and the missiles to deliver nuclear weapons. So what I foresee is that they are forcing this end of the world scenario on everyone, and they want to further depopulate the world through atomic war. But they want to wash their hands of the affair, like Pontius Pilate. God rest his soul. Saint Pontius Pilate, by the way, he redeemed himself enough to become a saint, but they never tell you that. But there would be no redemption for Joe Biden and John Stoltenberg and NATO and Justin Trudeau. If they lead us into nuclear war, not only will there be hell, will be the new world order. So keep your eyes clear, keep your mind clear, and don't fall for the false narrative that they are trying to pawn on us at this time. So as I see it, if this thing continues to escalate, we are going to have a nuclear exchange between Pakistan and Iran, so that Iran doesn't have to fight Israel on a one-front war. But the Israelis, they continue the atrocities. There is no proportionality to what they are doing in the name of self-defense. Israelis were killed brutally by a small sect of violent jihadis who have kept their people terrorized as well. But in the backlash, Israel has gone into a state of overkill. What is overkill? It's when you kill so much that nobody is left and there's no proportionality. Somebody said to me, in war there is no overkill. Well, yes, there is overkill. And one of the signs of overkill is on the planet Mars, which was destroyed by nuclear holocaust. The oven of another planet that is popularly called Marduk, and all that's left of it is the asteroid belt. But there is no life in northern Mars. It's a totally devastated desert planet in the northern hemisphere. Although there, we have found recently lots of vegetation in the southern hemisphere. That's a story to be left for another day. We are here at the end of the program. As I notified you in the first hour, at the beginning of the second hour, Revolution Radio needs your help. The donations have not come up to the costs for December and January. And I don't want to see the loss of Studio B, on which we do our premieres at 10 o'clock. So tomorrow night I will be on the air with a dear friend, a great artist, a researcher. Her name is Kinthea. She is the producer of The Other Side of the News. And we will be talking about her career as an activist in Marsology, art related based on Mars. It's going to be a very interesting program. So I hope you'll join us on Studio B, and I hope that you will contribute to keep Studio B on the air. And again, my thanks to Revolution Radio and the engineers, the unsung heroes who keep the servers going. I finally have all their names: Mr. Rowe, Comet, Monster, and Ahmad Pink. Thank you all very much. We'll be on the air tonight. Have a good one.
Listen to Revolution Radio at fritz.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Feel that things were not quite right, that everything was just so slight.
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in the latest information about UFOs, paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune into us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Check in every Thursday night for Rick and Jonathan.
Studio A, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time, right here at the number one listener-supported radio station, Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Association. It's philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and...